David Harris, a very, very good morning to you.
I'll tell you about my wife. Good morning.
Tell us about your wife, David Harris.
Nothing bad about my wife. That's not the horrific bit. But I'd be very interested to know, or maybe your listeners would be interested in commenting. On our street's fairly clean, but every so often we'll find papers and whatever blowing down the street. And my wife, wherever she is, we've got a little dog. She'll be walking the dog. She will bend down and pick up other people's rubbish, find the nearest bin, whether it's ours or a neighbor's or whatever, and pop the stuff in there. And she comes back home, and she doesn't say anything. Sometimes I'll watch her and we'll talk about it. And I'll say, but why? I understand why you do it, but why do you do it? And she said, somebody's just got to take that social responsibility. What do you think about picking up other people's garbage?
I think that's awesome, but that's how it should be. We at least, you know, we're not complaining that people are using our rubbish bins to keep the neighborhood clean. I think mm-hmm. that's awesome. I think that is civil responsibility. And once she's out there, I think, I wouldn't personally do that sort of thing, I can tell you. Because I'm just not a do-gooder in that environmental sort of a way at all. I couldn't give a hoot if I use plastic straws or not. But I do think it's commendable. What is not commendable is this whole Australian madness. It just shows you that things are just too perfect there. I think that's quite problematic. Let's just talk about UNRWA for one moment. The USA cutting funding to Pakistan and to UNRWA. Give us some background here. What is going on?
Okay. With permission, I'm going to talk about Pakistan first because, in my mind, it's a more important story.
Sure.
The Trump administration has made absolutely clear that it doesn't want to be the policeman or police officer of the world. On the other hand, it doesn't want to take anybody else's garbage. It doesn't want people dumping garbage in its bin. And a country like Pakistan, which has been a state sponsor of terrorism for so long, the country that harbored, seemingly knowingly, Osama bin Laden, the country that backs terror organizations, that harbors terror organizations, that has an intelligence agency in the ISI, which is clearly at least partly infiltrated with terrorists, that has a new president in cricket legend Imran Khan, who says the type of things that he says about the United States. What do you expect Donald Trump to do? Donald Trump is doing what previous presidents of the United States should have done, and he said, we are no longer giving the $300 million of aid to Pakistan. I actually think in this case we should laud what Donald Trump is doing.
I couldn't agree more. The issue of the whole issue of funding, you know, I mean, I think that has been something that has only caused a tremendous amount of pain for most of the world, because the funding has always been abused, even if it's abused by the American side, in order to place the wrong people or the right people at the right time who become the wrong people in play. This has really, very rarely been successful.
Absolutely the case. The only problem that I see in this type of idea, and I would certainly apply it in the cases of both Turkey and Iran, which we're seeing at the moment, who are under the American financial cosh with economic boycott, sanctions, and so on, is that it affects the people. And the last thing you want to do is to impact on innocent civilians. And secondly, all you're going to do or likely do is foment hatred amongst those many of those civilians. And in a part of the world in the greater Middle East where there is already so much anti-American or anti-Western mm-hmm. feeling or anti-non-Muslim feeling, the last thing we need to be doing is increasing that. So I think it's a very delicate balance. You've got to figure out how can we sanction, how can we punish a country, an organization, without damaging that organization's employees or that country's people.
It very, very interesting. So the question is this, is how do we give aid to people without it being abused?
This goes so far beyond my area of expertise, because what I would love to turn around and say is set up NGOs who are capable of dealing with it, or in the case of Gaza, set up a United Nations organization that would dispense that aid. But that brings us to the second issue, which is the one of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. It is a disaster in terms of the way that it's been able to look after that money. And now, we should not totally decry everything that UNRWA has ever done, because they've brought education, they've brought a lot of needed aid to the Palestinians. But it's very clear from investigation after investigation that a lot of that money has ended up in the hands of terrorists, that certain UNRWA facilities have been used to hide rockets and terrorists and so on and so forth. And there's been a heck of a lot wrong in that. So I don't know how to answer your question, because so far we haven't seen, that I'm aware of, in any of these tough areas, be it Iraq or Afghanistan and so on, mass organizations that are capable of dealing with the money without there being corruption. There are smaller organizations. There's one run by an Israeli woman who's doing wonderful work with the Kurds in Iraq, but she's doing it on a very small scale. The question is how you do that when you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Of course, the other issue is that one of the major problems in specifically in Gaza is that it makes financial sense for there not to be peace. Peace is not incentivized financially. So the more the destruction, the more the money comes in, the more money gets used for terror, the more money and it all gets used in a completely negative and vicious cycle.
But that's incredible short-termism on the part of the United Nations, on the part of all the various NGOs, and of course on the part of Hamas. Because if you down arms and arrange proper economic dealings with both Egypt and Israel, don't forget, when it comes to the Gaza Strip, we always forget about Egypt, which is also a possibility for work. You can have a viable economy operating in the Gaza Strip. There are other places with similar sized populations that do very well. Thank you very much. Anybody who says that we need to keep the war going is purely thinking short-termism, and you're not thinking about the long-term impacts, the lack of educational opportunities, the PTSD that affects people, which makes them less likely to succeed in school and in colleges, etc., etc. It smacks of that short-termism, and there have to be visionaries on the Palestinian side who can turn around and say, to hell with all of this, the only way we can succeed for our 1.5 to 2 million people is by a long-term peace arrangement with both of our neighbors.
That's unfortunately where we do have to leave it. Time is 8:59. I just got a private message from Gimple the Fool saying, am I boycotting his messages? Unfortunately, Gimple, they are not coming through onto the system. If there are any other messages that aren't coming through or that I haven't perhaps read out, please will you let me know. Send me a private tweet at Howard Feldman. You can just send me a private message, and I'll take a look at it and try and understand why it is that we are not receiving all of the messages. It's very important for me, and thank you, Gimple, for letting me know that I haven't read them out, because it really, I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression. I read out messages whether I agree with them or not, even though, to be fair with Gimple, mostly I do agree with them, so that makes life a little easier.